I'd like to call the meeting of the Reedy Planning Commission, the regular meeting for Thursday, March the 5th. I'd like to call it to order. Just a point of order, Ms. Ellen Moore will be up here. Mr. Terry is excused tonight as an excused absence. And Ms. Caitlin Underwood, permit technician from the Building Division, will be keeping track of us tonight. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Mr. Custodio, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Yes, please stand. Face the flag. Ready? Salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. At this time, we'd like to do a roll call. Ms. Underwood, would you do that for us, please?
Commissioner Conrad?
Here.
Commissioner Custodio?
Here.
Commissioner Lusamia?
Here.
Commissioner Perez?
Here.
Chair Hudson?
Here. Public comment section provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the Planning Commission on items of interest to the public within the Commission's jurisdiction and which are not already on the agenda this evening. Is there anyone that would like to provide public comment that's for an item that's not on the agenda? Hearing none, we'll move forward. Notice to public, consent agenda. The minutes of the regular meeting, January 16th, 2020. The recommendation to the commission is to approve these minutes. Do you have any questions about those minutes?
I do not.
Okay. Could we have a roll call to approve those? Could we have a first?
Motion.
A motion, please. A second?
A second.
We have a second. Did you get that? Okay.
Yes.
Commissioner Custodio?
Yes.
Commissioner Lusamia?
Yes.
Commissioner Perez?
Yes.
Chair Hudson?
Yes. Public hearing. Item number two, consideration of environmental assessment number 2020-1 and tentative parcel map number 2019-1 through resolution number 2020-2. The staff recommends that the Planning Commission take the following actions, and there's an A and a B. Ms. Moore, would you lead us? Oh,
Nothing's working.
No, mic's not working. We can hear you.
Yeah. And it's for the recording mostly. All right, I'm just going to sit down today. Oh, wait.
Take your time. Take your time. Come over and sit down.
All right, thank you for bearing with me, Chair, members of the Planning Commission, Ellen Moore, Associate Planner with the Community Development Department. The item before you this evening is an environmental assessment 2020-1, which is an addendum to an adopted mitigated negative declaration. And we're also looking at a tentative parcel map application number 2019-1, which is requesting authorization to subdivide a parcel into 4 acres along the proposed phase lines of a previous project that we have approved. The subject property is located in the northern sector of the city of Reedy, specifically on the northeast corner of South Frankwood Avenue and East South Avenue. The project site is 40 acres approximately, and it is currently agricultural land, specifically an orchard at this time. So looking at the Reedy General Plan, the property is currently outside of the Reedy city limits, and it is also outside of our adopted sphere of influence. The SOI boundary is the blue line that's kind of just south of the property, and the city limit boundary is the red line. And according to our general plan, the designation of this property is low density residential and neighborhood commercial. And that was approved through a general plan amendment for the Frankwood Commons project that this Planning Commission gave a recommendation to the City Council on in January of 2019. Or I'm sorry, that was when it went to Council. It was went to this body on December 5th of 2018. So I think we do have quite a few Planning Commissioners here that may have remembered that project. As far as the existing condition of the property, staff has submitted an annexation application with the Fresno Local Agency Formation Commission, and there is also a sphere of influence amendment and a municipal service review that's also pending with Fresno LAFCO. The municipal service review is a large document that was worked on by staff, by the engineering team at Four Creeks, and city staff to submit that to LAFCO. It's a very extensive document going over whether Reedley can provide services to properties that are outside of the sphere of influence, and so that proves that we can in order for us to expand our sphere of influence. So that was a great undertaking by everyone involved with that. And then the annexation application, once it's in the sphere of influence, then we can submit and potentially have an annexation application approved for this project. And something else to keep in mind is that the 40-acre property is owned by one entity at this time. So all 40 acres is owned by Shannon Ford LLC. So that's where we are at this time. We are hoping that that LAFCO will hear the Sphere of Influence Amendment, the MSR, and the annexation application next month.
Because so we can't start close. Without that, right?
Correct. Yeah, they can't. They cannot start without that. You may see the trees being removed a little bit earlier, but there's the LAFCO is kind enough to allow us to do the Sphere of Influence Amendment, MSR, and the annexation at the same meeting. Time. Yeah, so they would hear that at the same time. It would be separate items. They'd approve the SOI first, and then the annexation, potentially. It is up to them. And then there's a 30-day appeal period where if someone wanted to provide comments on the project or anything, then they would... there's that 30-day appeal period where they can do that, so we are kind of on hold there as well.
Do you folks attend that meeting?
Okay. We do, yeah. City staff does attend. Rob and myself will be there. I'm assuming the applicant will also be there as well if they wish, but staff will definitely be there. Mm-hmm. And then, the LAFCO would do the presentation, but we're there for support and to see firsthand what the action is. But after that meeting, there's a 30-day appeal period, and so that's when essentially they can pull building permits or an encroachment permit because now it is in our jurisdiction.
I have a question.
Sure.
So in the process, is this area right here ever going to be brought into the city limits?
Yeah. Commissioner Conrad is talking about the U-shaped property that is just south of. It's along Frankwood Avenue. The intent is that yes, that will be annexed at some point. When this project was first brought to us, we did reach out to the property owners in a letter and asked what the interest was for those property owners to see if they wanted to annex in, and we got a majority of no, that they did not want to. Annex in.
If it is annexed in, do they have to be put onto city water and city sewer and all that?
That doesn't have to happen right away because those folks are on wells or septic systems at this point. With this project, there will be infrastructure placed in Frankwood, so there will be infrastructure available for them. If they wanted to connect to it, they would be connecting at their cost. If they still have a working well and working septic system, they can stay on that as long as it is still working. So we don't require them to tie in unless the well is failing or or the septic system fails. So they can stay on that as long as it works.
Even if that is brought into the city limit.
That's correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That answers my question. Thank you.
Mm-hmm, you're welcome. Yeah, that was something that we had actually changed recently. We did a municipal code amendment to change that, because I think originally they had to connect within 3 years of annexing. Mm-hmm. But if there's already a working system, it doesn't really make a lot of sense for them to abandon that and then connect to services at that time, especially because it will usually work out that they do upgrades or repairs just before they get annexed. So if that's the case, then that's a waste of money for them, and the city didn't want to be involved with that. It makes sense that if it's still working, then they can keep using it. So the previously approved tentative map on this property was a subdivision map. It was proposing 150 single-family homes and approximately 3 acres of commercial land along the corner of South and Frankwood Avenue. So if we're looking at the map here, the largest parcel on the bottom left corner is the commercial area. And this map was approved by the City Council on January 9th of 2019. So this map is not changing at this point, but the reason we're here this evening is because the developer intends to develop the property into phases. As you can see on the screen here, there's 3 phases of the residential, and then the commercial is assumed to be phase 4 at this point. So the developer wanted to purchase the property in phases instead of purchase all of the 40 acres and then just do a final map based on these phases. So there's actually, now that there's a transfer of property going into the, being added to the steps of building these homes, a parcel map would be required in order to transfer ownership one phase at a time. So the based on the parcel map and based on the previously approved tentative subdivision map, staff has determined that the parcel map is consistent with our Reedley Municipal Code and the Subdivision Map Act. Just to line up these maps a little bit better to confirm that the subdivision of land is along those phase lines, on the left-hand side is the tentative subdivision map, and then on the right-hand side is the proposed parcel map. So as you can see, the lines do jog around a little bit, but that's because they want to include the entirety of the proposed single-family lots. So if the parcel map was phased in a way where some of the lots as part of the tentative subdivision map, if those are, if they're crossing over a lot that will be created in the future, that will create some problems. So that's why the parcel map is proposed along those phase lines.
Thank you. I was wondering about that.
Sure. If you just look at the parcel map, it looks a little weird. But yeah, if you line it up with what the proposed lots are, you can see that it's jogging around those so that there's no conflict between parcel lines basically once the lot is subdivided. And then the blue dash lines and then the green or lime green dash lines, those are proposed access easements, because parcel 2, if this parcel map is approved, parcel 2 is landlocked. And what that means is that there's no access to a public street. So the subdivision map does not allow that without an access easement so that someone can get to that parcel. And in this instance, because the street configuration on the subdivision map to the left does show future connections to that area in addition to having the easements, staff is comfortable with this arrangement. Any questions on the map?
Is the retail outlets or whatever's going to go in there mm-hmm. going to be phased in at the same time as initial construction starts?
You are talking about the construction of the buildings or the improvements? I don't believe there will be any activity on the commercial lot during this process. That's why we're assuming it is phase four. That will probably come in last. Because that may potentially be under different ownership from the person that would be building the homes.
Oh, I thought that was already under different ownership.
It is not.
It is not.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah, that's why we're doing the parcel map, is okay. to be able to split up the ownership at one time.
Right.
Basically. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and at this point, San Joaquin Valley Homes is the builder who plans to build phase 1, 2, and 3. And so if this parcel map is approved, we would have 4 lots. Then San Joaquin Valley Homes would purchase parcel 1 from the current property owner, develop phase 1, or I should back up and say submit a final map for phase 1, showing the lot lines and the street improvements and public improvements, and get that approved by the city council. And then they would move on to phase 2, transfer ownership for parcel 2, do the public improvements, and so on and so forth. And yeah, again, the assumption is that parcel 4 would be developed last.
So is the current owner going to pull all the trees at one time? Because I can see, you know, you build out parcel 1, how is he ever going to irrigate if they leave trees in parcel 2?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is a fair question. It's my, I'm guessing they're going to pull the trees out all at once. Do you have an idea? Yeah, okay.
Could you come to the podium, young man?
and
introduce yourself and where you live, and you don't have to tell us your birthday or anything.
Blood time.
Blood time.
Good evening, Commissioners, Chairman. Steve Macias, I'm with Four Creeks. Our office address is 324 South Santa Fe, Visalia, California.
Thank you.
I live in Tula, Utah. So, really quickly, I'll address the question about the trees. We do not currently intend to take out all the trees. There's an irrigation well that sits up on the north side of the property, near the you see there's a big lot on the northwest corner. There's a long property there that's going to be, in the future, would be a ponding basin. Well, we're building a ponding basin. The other map is kind of shown.
It's right there in the corner.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that big oblong parcel there is going to be a ponding basin. The city has plans to expand that basin into a regional storm drainage basin to the north. So the idea would be that at the end of the day, the parcel that's just north of our northern boundary would be an overall large basin. So this would kind of just, I don't know, like blend in to an overall regional storm drainage basin that is planned for the future in the city of Wheatley's storm drainage master plan. So the irrigation well is actually located on that parcel. And if you could switch back to the other slide.
The aerial or the?
The phasing. The phasing. Yeah, perfect. So the phase one is going to, we remove all the trees in phase one. We're going to go a little bit past the boundary. We're going to go about 20 feet past the boundary of the phase one lines, and all the other trees would remain in place with the irrigation well being protected, so that way we can continue to irrigate those trees.
Is it currently under drip then?
I don't know what the means. I'm not sure if they're dripping or if they're flooding.
Okay.
That would be addressed in our civil plans in order to, if they are flooding, mm-hmm. we'd want to make sure that we're not flooding out the new homes that we're putting in.
Well,
so
yeah.
That's something we're doing. We're doing some of these fields and trying to preserve the trees. Mm-hmm.
I only ask because in my former life I was a farmer, so.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, very good question. Very good question.
Mm-hmm. So everything right now kind of flows from the north and it flows down to the south. So because mm-hmm. we started that irrigation well, it just runs down to the south.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to kind of really quickly just state that we are scheduled for an April 8th hearing with LAFCO mm-hmm. for now. So that's when we hope to get the sphere of influence and the MSR and the annexation all completed on that at that hearing. There is the, as Alan noted, there is a 30-day
appeal period
process,
mm-hmm.
Our period. But that's when we're hoping to get the annexation all completed. The purpose again of this, and I think Alan did a good job of explaining this was to create the parcels. The developer I'm working for, San Joaquin Valley Homes, they've done a lot of land development, and they started earlier with McMillan back in the day, and it's just customary for them to try to develop about between 50 to 80 lots at a time. This project, they're currently proposing 54 lots with phase one. I can't remember the count for phase two and three, but they're trying to take it down at a 50 lots at a time type of pace. I just also want to note that if you're not familiar with their work, they are doing a nice subdivision out in Kingsburg that we worked on.
Oh, that's it.
Which one?
It's off of 16th or Madsen and 396.
So it's south of town?
Yes, southeast of town.
Right, okay. I know what it's at.
So that was a unique project right there, but it's turned out really nice.
Is that right close to the Lincoln School in that area?
I believe it is.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think my niece and her husband just bought a house in there.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
So again, my name is Steve Macias. Just wanted to come up out today, explain our role in it. We're the engineers. We're helping process the entitlements, and if there's any more questions.
Thank you. Do you have any further comments you want to make?
We'll
ask you questions then. Do you have some more questions of Mr. Macias?
I don't.
None?
No.
Okay. You stay right there, and we'll have a discussion, and maybe we'll come up with some more questions for you. Okay.
And I do want to point out as well that we are trying to do concurrent processing to get San Joaquin Valley Homes and Four Creeks ready for when the 30-day appeal period ends. Four Creeks has submitted public improvement plans for the property, and they've submitted the final map. So we're reviewing that at the same time, but we still do need to approve this tentative parcel map now to kind of line everything else up. But we are working on that. So I did just want to point out a couple of improvement plans just based on what you'll see during the first phase. According to the improvement plans, there is plan to construct the curb gutter sidewalk in front of the commercial area during phase one of building the houses and completing the street improvements as well on East Avenue and South Avenue up to phase one. So that will, because even though the commercial construction on site will happen in a future date, they are doing some improvements during phase one so that it looks more complete, from the street, basically. and then they will also work on the basin as well, because that will be serving phase one. So that'll be the initial activity that we would see for this map. Yes?
I have a question. All the city services, the sewer, the water, and that, is that up to the developer to do from where it ends on Frankwood all the way to out to that parcel?
Yeah, they would have to pull it from where it is now, which I think is at where the city limit line is up north to their property. They are required.
Quite expensive, isn't it?
It is. It is, yeah. And originally there was, and we did reroute the sewer line proposal based on our master plan as well to go up Frankwood. Initially it was going up Reed and moving to south. Yeah, so the developer approached us about that and presented that proposal, and so that'll be the what's planned here.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
If all of the benchmarks are met all the way through the appeal, is your intent then to start?
It is San Joaquin Valley Homes' intent to start removing trees as early as next week, I would say, for phase one. We've processed all the needed environmental documents as far as dust control, because that can be an issue, so we've got that all taken care of, and their intention is to start within the next 2 weeks removing trees. So, again, as Ellen said, this is going to precede the LAFCO hearing, so that way the day that we're okayed to proceed forward, we want to hopefully have approval to start the project. I think we were actually in discussions with Rob and the city staff to try to start improvements before the last week of approvals appeal period's over, actually.
Yeah, as far as moving trees, that is something that's allowed.
Right now,
mm-hmm. it because that's something any property owner can do that regardless of the jurisdiction that they are in. But we need to have jurisdiction over the property before we can approve a final map and then approve the improvement plans, because right now we don't have jurisdiction over that. We do understand that the intent is to send for San Joaquin Valley Homes to move as quickly as possible within the limits of what the city can approve or not approve and when we can do that. So a couple of conditions of approval to note for the parcel map. We kind of already went over this, that the parcel map approval is contingent upon the LAFCO approval, the final map approval, because we can approve a tentative map without it being in the city, but once it's annexed into the city, that's when we have jurisdiction to approve a final map, building plans, improvement plans. And then because this is a phased map for a previously approved map, the development should be in substantial conformance with this map. And we had already mentioned the access easements that are required between the parcels to prevent issues with any landlocked parcels while in case the phases are developed differently. For public noticing, which is required at least 10 days prior to the public hearing, a notice was published in the Mid-Valley Times on February 20th of this year, and the notice of public hearing was mailed to the surrounding property owners on February 19th. The noticing map and the list of addresses that it was sent to is included in the staff report, and as of right now, I personally have not heard from any of the neighbors. They haven't approach me with any comments or anything, but we did send out the date and time of the public hearing, and we gave them a link to the city website where they can review the staff report and agenda, which we do for every project that we notice publicly. Moving on to the environmental assessment, on January 9th, 2019, the City Council certified a mitigated negative declaration for the previous projects, which included the entitlements that are on the screen, the annexation application, general plan amendment, pre-zone, and the tentative subdivision map. Because this parcel map is essentially a phased map, the city, as the lead agency, prepared an addendum to that MND, because there were no minor, or there all of the changes being proposed, which there aren't really that many at this point. It's just subdividing land first and then subdividing it again. The changes proposed in the parcel map are minor in the sense that they would not create potentially significant environmental impacts in addition to what was discussed and identified in the previously approved MND. And the project would not substantially increase the magnitude or severity of impacts that were previously identified. So the mitigated negative declaration and the addendum were included in the agenda packet, which is why it is a many, many, many pages long. But we did provide a checklist for the addendum specific and looked at each specific impact again to make sure that there would be no major or significant impacts as a result of this parcel map, and staff determined that there were none. And the Planning Commission does need to consider the addendum with the approval of this parcel map. With that, staff's recommendation is to approve environmental assessment number 2020-1, which is an addendum to the MND. And staff recommends approval of tentative parcel map application number 2019-1. That concludes staff's report. Be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Questions?
Any children that, once it's built out, do they go to Great Western School, to Thomas Law Reed, Alta?
That's a good question. That would be up to the school district.
That was adjusted a few years ago, so I don't think I can respond to that either. We'd have to investigate that.
I had a couple of children that were in our care for a limited time, and we had to split them up. So, and I live just south of that. Just south of that.
Over,
so
over 500 feet away.
Over 500 feet away.
Want to clarify?
Oh yeah,
that.
Yeah. I live about half a mile away. How's that? And half of them had to go to Great Western, and the other ones got to go to T.L. Reed. So
yeah, there was an adjustment. Yeah.
Right. So it just depends on the population, on the kids, school, and T.L. Reed.
Yeah. And I would like to add as well that this project, the tentative subdivision map, I should say, will contribute or will pay school fees per house, per unit, as well to help with, to provide that for the school district for the additional houses.
I think you addressed this, but the phasing, 1, 2, 3, the configuration, based on the number of homes, lots, about 50-ish. And what else? Location?
Like, why wasn't it just a square? And like,
yeah,
you know, and like, and here's 50.
I was going to say that, but I didn't want to tip my hand.
No.
Why didn't you have square?
Yeah, so typically the reason is you in order to satisfy a fire and emergency safety, you have to have 2 points of access for any developments. That
so ingress and egress.
40 homes, I want to say.
Something like that.
So anytime you have greater than 40 homes, you have to have 2 points of access.
I see it now.
We've provided
our okay. Access good,
for
good
this. Access here.
The rest of it, I mean, so we start moving up to phase two again, so we're maintaining the trees there and their abilities here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for that clarification. And I did also want to point out that for solid waste, like for trash vehicles, they can't back up, if at all. So that's why if you look at the phase lines as well, they'll still be able to serve the residences and not have to back out too far to service these, you know, if the other phases aren't being developed at around the same time. Yeah, and for fire trucks as well, too, because the streets would only be built out until up to the phase lines.
There will be temporary turnarounds at locations where
I have a question. How much of phase one has to be sold before you start phase two and then to phase three? Good question.
It's probably a question for the builder.
It is a question for the builder. What I can tell you is with my history with the developer is if I do a lot of work with these guys. When Kingsburg opened up, the new subdivision out there, Summerlin is what they call that one.
Mm-hmm.
When they opened up sales, they didn't even have model homes yet. They had a line out, almost like it was Black Friday, out of their office for people to purchase.
Mm-hmm.
When they saw the response they got, he said, "Hey, Steve, we need you to start phase two drawings and start stuff, you know," because they were like, they saw the reaction they got. So I'd imagine that it's going to be based on the reaction that they have as far as how many homes, how much interest they're having out there. If there's a huge amount of interest immediately, then I would say you'd probably be into it. They'd start building phase two improvements probably after 25% of the houses are sold out here.
Are they all going to be the same homes, or will phase two have different looks than phase one?
No, typically they maintain the same model of house.
Okay.
They build across all three phases.
And typically it might be four or five models.
But
different,
yeah.
Different folks can buy phase one, two, three, right? That's why you're parceling it out, right?
Different
they
folks.
So they can sell it.
Potentially.
Mm-hmm. Our client, I believe, when he does these types of deals, he actually enters into a letter of intent or some kind of an agreement that he has first right of refusal to purchase the remaining phases.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Any other questions? Good questions.
I do have a question. You said phase one, when it's under construction, that the remaining trees, so in parcel or in parcels two and three, those are going to be staying as active ag land?
Yes.
They will be. Okay. And
I think right now they're in almond trees.
Yeah, in almonds. I'm just thinking of the types of applications, because
spraying and
I mean, you have that buffer zone in between, but that's a lot of housing that's going to be, especially the surrounding, because you're moving into agland itself. So and it's difficult to take that consideration, especially the people who want to move in there, because they won't be used to that type of
activity in the back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is a concern when development occurs surrounding by agricultural farmland, there is that understanding. However, one of the conditions of approval for this project, and I believe we've had them for the past few projects, because now that we're running out of land within city limits, we do have to expand into farmland and around farmland. So we do have the future home builders, home buyers, they enter into a right to farm agreement. So when they do buy the property, there's a disclaimer that there will be agricultural activity in the area, in the immediate vicinity, and the ag land was there first, essentially. So at least it's written documentation for that. But yeah, there still is that potential because it is next to farmland, but we try to strike that balance, and that balance is a right to farm covenant.
Because when you harvest almonds, it's very dusty.
Oh, very dusty, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And loud. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, other questions? Okay. Thank you, Ms. Moore. Appreciate that. Mr. Macias, thank you. Are we ready to take some action?
Before we do that, Chair, I apologize. If I could just point out, point of clarification, we did previously approve the tentative subdivision map. So if for some reason, or if the parcel map is denied, the tentative subdivision map still applies. They can still develop it that way. Just want to provide that point of clarification. This would just split up the parcel into four phases, where it could be developed further in the future. So just wanted to point that out.
Okay, we've had a discussion here. We've had good information. We want to open it to the public for any input. Seeing and hearing none. Let's move on to some discussion here. Tonight we are under public hearing item number two. We're considering environmental assessment number 2020-1 and tentative parcel map number 2019-1 through resolution number 2020-2. And the staff is recommending that the Planning Commission take the following actions. A, approve environmental assessment number 2020-1, an addendum to an adopted mitigated negative declaration, environmental assessment number 2017-1, dated November 8, 2018, and B, approved tentative map parcel application number 2019-1, requesting authorization to subdivide one 40-acre parcel into four parcels along the proposed phase lines of tentative subdivision map number 6178, Frankwood Commons. A previously approved single-family and commercial development located on the northeastern corner of Frankwood Avenues and South Avenue. This is all under resolution number 2020-2. I would entertain someone to...
So is it just one motion for...
It's just one resolution, right?
Yeah, for both.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve resolution number 2020-2.
I'll second.
We have a second.
Commissioner Conrad?
Aye.
Commissioner Custodio?
Yes.
Commissioner Lusmia?
Yes.
Commissioner
Perez? Yes.
Hudson?
Yes. Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Macias, thank you. You're welcome to stay. We'll be here for another 3 or 4 hours. And well, I know how to clear a house.
I know. He's got a long drive to Tulare.
You got to go to Tulare.
Go have dinner.
No,
but you can go. You don't have to.
No, say. It'll be a short one. Yeah. Short one, short one.
Yeah, we just have one more item.
Okay, administrative business. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good luck to you. Administrative business, item number 3. Consideration of the 2019 Annual Progress Report for the Reedley General Plan and Housing Element through Resolution Number 2020-3, the staff is recommending that the Planning Commission take the following actions. A, recommend that the City Council of the City of Reedley receive and file the 2019 Annual Progress Report for the Reedley General Plan and Housing Element and direct the Community Development Department to file said report with the Governor's Office of Planning and Research and the California Department of Housing and Community Development. Mm-hmm. Ms. Moore?
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you, Chair. Members of the Planning Commission. Yes, the annual progress report title may tell you, this is something that we have to report on every year, and it basically looks at implementation of our general plan and how many permits have been pulled to construct housing within the city, and it is the calendar year, so we're looking at January 1st to December 31st of 2019. And this report is due by April 1st of this year, and we submit it to the Office of Planning and Research as well as the Department of Housing and Community Development. They use it for research purposes, OPR does, and then HCD, they use it to make sure that we are building enough housing based on the numbers that we are supposed to be building them at. The housing, or HCD, they have specific forms and tables that we have to fill out, which were included in the staff report. I am not going to go through those line by line. That would take about 3 to 4 hours, I think. But I was just going to go through the highlights and go over some of the projects that we've approved, just to so everyone's on the same page as to what we will be reporting this year. For residential projects, earlier in March, we approved Rancho Vista Reedley, which was on the northeast corner of Button Willow Avenue and Duff Avenue. That was 186 single-family residential lots that were proposed there. That was two parcels, so they were doing phase one and two. And then there was also an annexation that was completed in 2019 as well. We also approved Fino Estates this year. That was heard by this Planning Commission in September of 2019. That was located on the east side of Frankwood Avenue between Locke and Aspen Avenue. And then on the east side, that would be Evergreen Avenue, I think. Yeah, or it's connected to that. So this is an infill development project, which is good to start with infill projects and then annex land from there. That was 34 single-family residential units and up to 92 multifamily residential units proposed as part of that subdivision. There were 11 building permits issued in 2019, and 10 of those were from the Almond Grove subdivision. And then there were 2 ADUs that were constructed and occupied this year. And then there were 2 single-family residences as well, constructed and occupied. They already had their building permits. And the specific addresses and locations are in the table if you wanted to take a look at that.
What is an ADU?
Oh, ADU, I'm sorry. It's an accessory dwelling unit. So in single-family residential neighborhoods, you are allowed to add an additional dwelling unit.
Oh, like a granny house.
Pretty much, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. No, I should have clarified that. I say ADU so many times.
Anymore, no, we don't call them grannies.
You don't call them those anymore now. No. Yeah, and they used to be called second units too. Okay. The state changed the name again. So they're rebranding it. I don't know. But there are a lot of, there's a lot of legislation moving forward about ADUs, because a couple years ago we did bring a text amendment forward, and we have to bring another one forward because they changed it again. So look forward to that. But yeah, but those are additional dwelling units. They have size limitations on them, but we have had two, which is more than we've had in 5, 6, 7 years. So there is, they are cheaper to build because infrastructure's already there, that kind of thing, but it is still an expense. So we're not seeing as much of an increase in those as other cities are as a result of the state laws that have been passed. Any questions on these projects or locations, anything? So we didn't have too much more activity in these three categories, but for commercial projects, there was a building permit issued for United Health Centers. That was in early 2019, and they are occupied now, so that went pretty smoothly. And then the building permit was issued for Dopkins Funeral Chapel on Reed Avenue, and so they're still working on that one.
Which, their phase one is the main chapel, and that is constructed.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
I see it every day.
Oh, yeah, I bet you do. yeah, and for mixed-use projects, I've already talked too much about Frankwood Commons, but that was approved in early 2019. And the Trimble Park Splash Pad was open to the public this year as well. And that was a couple of years because we got a grant for that. I think that was in 2016 or 17.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while, but that is open and running. And so there are multiple tables in as far as the housing element reporting requirements. There were a couple different tables, but this was the main one to discuss. And this is the number of permits issued. So HCD now does require us to report how many units were applied for, how many units were approved, how many building permits were issued, and how many certificates of occupancy were issued. So all the different stages of housing development, that's what we are required to report on now.
Is there a line at the bottom there, or is that at the end of it?
Yeah, that's the end of it, yeah. I was trying to squeeze this in all into one slide, and it didn't work out very well, but yeah, but all the information is there. So this is table A, and so this is just a summary of our progress in our regional needs allocation, or regional need housing needs allocation, which is RENA, which you may have heard us mention before. So we are required to, or we are supposed to build a certain amount of units at certain income levels every 8 years. And so this shows the state how we are progressing on that. So, yeah, so in short, in 2019, since there were only 12 building permits issued, we included 12, and then we have to report based on deed restricted or non-deed restricted. And so what deed restricted means is there's actually a covenant or a deed restriction on the property that states the household's income level. That's the income level that that house or that the residents have to meet in order to live there. So for low-income housing, those are deed restricted. If they get funding, usually that's kind of the thought process there, is that they guarantee that there will be available housing for all income levels.
Does the self-help homes fall in the very low and low part?
I believe they will, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's very low. It's probably going to be, it may be a combination of the two. Because for other self-help subdivisions in the past, I think it's been a combination of the two. And a lot of the 12 units, the 11 of those are Almond Grove. So those would be classified as moderate income.
So those aren't actually the permits, those are the actual housing or structures, actual?
It's the permits issued.
Okay.
Yeah. Which authorizes them to start building, basically. Yeah, so because we did get a lot of building permit applications, I think it was like 80 or something at the end of this year because of the code cycle change. So we're going to have at least 80 units to include on here for next year, or I guess for this calendar year.
80 for this?
Around 80.
Yeah, it's around 84.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that includes Almond Grove and self-help. Yeah, and so hopefully within the next few years, based on the timeline that San Joaquin Valley Homes is thinking, they might end up pulling permits during this year as well, so we can report those. And Rancho Vista potentially as well within the next year or two. Those will likely be added, which is very good news. The not so good news is that's only fulfilling the moderate income requirement, because we still need 203 units, 338 very low.
But the good news in 18 and 19, Mr. Perez was the chair during that time. Look at the numbers.
Look at the numbers.
You wanted results.
Good job.
Wow, good job.
I had the boring years. Look at
those are tough economic
years. They were.
We were working a lot on text amendments and general plan stuff.
We were doing a lot of writing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is where we are. And so we have our cycle of the housing element is 8 years. So we're on the fifth year. And so we have a couple more years to report, and then we'll have to redo our housing element. Mm-hmm.
Does low-income apartments fall in all that also?
Mm-hmm. They would, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, accessory dwelling units would also be included on here, so basically any housing unit can be counted towards the RENA numbers.
So it just doesn't have to be a house, it could be an apartment.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're welcome. Mm-hmm. And for example, the 55... here is a Trailside Terrace.
Mm-hmm.
That was the project done by the Fresno Housing Authority in downtown on G Street. So that was where the income level lied. And it's based on how, you know, the sale price of the home and whether it's renter or owner. So there's a calculator that we use now to determine the affordability level.
Go back a slide or two. You had the first group that you did, but the numbers was residential, I think. Yeah, before that.
This one?
Residential. Yeah, you were at, and I was just adding up the numbers that you were quoting.
Oh, right.
And got to 327
mm-hmm.
units just in 2019. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, that were either approved or under construction.
Right. So I have to hand it to this. You guys were part of the economic growth of this community. That's a lot of growth.
What are we up to, 900? About 900 now?
It's total? It's about 700.
700?
Approved. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we have, because the Frankwood South
right.
is 150.
We've been waiting for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's built up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Almond Grove, those are selling like crazy too. So,
yeah.
Which is very good to hear. I think almost half of the homes are sold at this point.
Yeah. Is that Frankwood and
Olson?
Olson,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, because it's
it's
the only new construction happening. So,
I know, but not. Well, that's going to change soon.
It is. Exactly right. It is going to change soon.
Yeah, their timing was good.
It was very good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then Monta Vista as well. That'll be 16 units. We've quite a few approved, and they're submitting final maps and improvement plans. So it's things are moving forward. So yeah, Caitlin's going to be very busy over the next. Well, she already is, but
yeah.
It's going to get.
I say this kind of all goes to you. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Once we get our new expansion done, there'll be lots of new housing projects.
For the,
just they're not for the living. But.
Oh, for the cemetery. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I knew where he was going.
Yeah, I knew too, but I just wasn't sure. I didn't want to be super wrong.
We didn't want to take
some dark humor.
Jump the gun, you know.
But yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, you're helping.
You're ahead of the game.
You are.
When you're in that type of business or profession, you have to have a sense of humor. You'll go nuts.
Oh, I believe it. Mm-hmm. I believe it.
Okay.
Good stuff.
Anything else?
That is it. If anyone has specific questions about what's included in the report, I'm happy to bring those up. But again,
how many pages is the report?
30 or 40, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
All right. Any further questions about the report? Okay. Public, do you have any input for the report? Seeing and hearing none. We are considering the 2019 annual progress report for the Reedy General Plan and Housing Element. And this is going through resolution number 2020-3, and the staff is recommending that we take the following action. Recommend that the City Council of the City of Reedy receive and file the 2019 annual progress report for the Reedy General Plan and Housing Element and direct the Community Development Department to file said report with the Governor's Office of Planning and Research and the California Department of Housing and Community Development. I would entertain a motion.
I make a resolution that we approve 2020-3.
We have a motion to approve resolution number 2020-3.
I will second.
We have a second.
Commissioner Custodio?
Yes.
Commissioner Lusania?
Yes.
Chair Hudson?
Yes.
Commissioner Perez?
Yes.
Commissioner Conrad?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Director's report, and we have the assistant or associate planner,
yes.
Ms. Moore, here to make the director's report, correct?
Yes, I will do that. We've already kind of gone over a couple of different things when we're talking about projects, because those are the main updates I have. The first certificate of occupancy for Almond Grove was issued late last week, and they had their open house this weekend.
Nice.
I think they accounted, did they count 1,200 people that went?
1,200?
So their first residents moved in over the weekend, and they had up to 1,500 people at their grand opening. They actually ran out of tacos, they said.
1,500?
Yes.
100. Like, throughout the day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The job superintendent told me that they had estimated that 1,500 people had walked through.
For free tacos?
Oh well,
ran out of tacos. Yeah. Said that they also
you were part of that 1,500?
No,
I didn't know about it.
They also said that just that day they had about five or six houses enter contract.
Awesome, awesome.
Yeah, and it looks good. They put the block wall up, so you can't see much off of Frankwood now. But
right.
If you turn on a Shoemaker Olson, you can look at the houses, because on Olson, closer to Olson, that's where most of the houses are mostly done, and then that's where the CO house was. But they look good.
You can actually drive down Birch Avenue now.
Oh.
So
awesome.
It is open.
The neighbors calm down a little bit.
I can't believe they've been complaining about that lot being open, unused, and now that there's something built, they're still complaining.
Yes, well, surprisingly,
welcome to planning.
Must be next to the church.
That development is going to cause other things to want to happen along the Franklin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Now, do we still own that piece of property across the street, that strip?
The commercial?
Yes.
We don't own the commercial. Mm-mm.
Oh, I thought we owned a piece of property opposite that on the other side. No?
Mm-mm.
Oh.
Mm-mm. Yeah, because there's that vacant lot that used to have a house, but that's we just have a lien on that.
Yeah,
we don't own that one. Yeah, I think the commercial lot is catty corner to, or I guess diagonally across from there. Yeah, and that's owned by a private entity.
Oh, mm-hmm. I thought for some reason we said we owned it a couple of years back, but
mm-hmm.
I'm mistaken, I guess.
You gonna give us an update of what I saw a lot of. Earth turning on Parlier, north of Parlier.
North
and,
of Parlier? Mm-hmm. Yeah, the self-help phase
mm-hmm.
of Reed Aspen, they did get their grading permit. for that, and they did take out they took out some of the trees. And if you were wondering about, because they didn't take all the trees out at one time because phase two is not being developed by self-help at this time, so they only took the trees out for their phase, which is where Church and Hollywood mm-hmm. are, where they terminate. And then they are also having to dig out some of the basin, which is where the other, because they took out the trees where the basin is supposed to be, and but there's still trees around it. So if you're wondering why, that's because they're building the basin right now to serve that. So they did get their grading permit. They do have master plans approved for the houses right now. I think they even submitted some building permit applications to construct the houses, but we do have master plans available. So we know what the houses are going to look like.
Right.
And,
I would like to see that.
Yeah. Yeah, they look very nice. They look very nice. I think it's the same ones in Woodlake, I think.
Yeah, I have some, architectural drawings,
the
and I have some color elevations that I can send to Ellen.
Well, that'd be great. Yeah, because I can't make it to Woodlake.
No, that's fair. Yeah. It's a drive.
I would like to see what they look like. So.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and any of the, once applications are submitted, if you are curious, you're welcome to reach out and ask, because we have the ones for self-help, and then I think we have some for Rancho Vista as well, because they had submitted master plans. They have to make some changes to them, but we do have those. And again, it's usually four or five sets of model homes with different elevation styles on there. But yeah, you're welcome to reach out about that.
Do you have any conceptual drawings of what's going on at the high school? I've been asking for a layout so I could see how it's going to lay out.
Mm-hmm.
Do you folks have anything like that?
For the high school, is that the on the south side of town?
Oh,
yeah.
On Manning.
Well, actually, that whole, because there's going to be activity all the way to North Street. So I was just curious if we had
next to the pool.
I'm sorry.
Next to the pool, the
next
high school
pool.
Pool, like where, yeah.
Sorry.
That whole area that they took down and now where
that's
the district
right.
office used to be at.
Gotcha. Yeah. Thank you.
I went to the district office and nobody knew what the hell was going on. They don't have a map in the whole place.
Okay.
Unbelievable. Wait, I was so mad.
Are
I couldn't
you didn't come
tell
you.
Me. I was asking them when they were going to vote next.
So the school district, they operate under their own jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
So the short answer is no. However, anything in the public right of way, they do have to talk to us about.
Right.
So because they are they do have a master plan, and I do have that, so I can send that to you.
I'm looking for the descriptions of what's going to go where, like where the ballparks are going to be and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, they do have a concept plan showing where things are going to go.
What I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Can you have that?
I do.
Email?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Is the commission interested in seeing that?
Yes,
I am.
Yes. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you, Pete.
Yeah. And again, if anything on-site changes, we don't have anything to do with it, but if they're proposing drive approaches or anything like that, then we do review that.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I briefly mentioned Rancho Vista. They submitted a final map and improvement plans, so that is also one step closer to you seeing homes being built, but we still have to review those plans, approve the final map, and go from there.
Where are those located? See, there's so many now that I'm like, where?
Yeah, so we are working on, actually, I'll say that later, but that's on Button, Willow, and Duff. It's north
of
the...
Oh, okay, yes.
Yeah, north of the River Ridge
right.
subdivision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do you think we could get an agenda next time of all the...
projects.
Yeah, projects.
And maybe
and
a
their
bit
names
of a
and
chronological
everything.
Thing.
Oh, and timelines
yeah.
and stuff. That will be difficult because we can only disclose when applications are submitted.
Yes.
So we can, because right now we did put together a spreadsheet of the number of units approved, and then we would eventually expand upon that. So that's something that we're working on.
So everything we talked about, though, has been approved, hasn't it?
Yeah, everything.
Well,
yeah, everything.
Could you do it this way? Anything that you have that's public information,
mm-hmm.
that you all don't recreate something or create,
mm-hmm.
but anything you have.
Mm-hmm.
That would be helpful because I do get asked questions like
yeah,
this.
Yeah, yes.
Sure.
And
yeah.
I forget the names of these places.
It's, yeah, it's understandable. Yeah,
yeah
and
I thought it was nuts and
you
guys call it all
already.
It's Ammons.
Yeah, the.
Ammons.
Yeah, and there's also just different steps and phases of it because you have approved on paper and then you have the improvement plans and then the building permit.
Right. Well,
so
we
yeah.
don't need that kind of
you don't
detail.
Don't need that detail. Okay,
no.
And
I guess what we
yeah.
Me visually, I would like to see a map and see like this is Almond Grove proposed and then this is
mm-hmm.
Rancho Vista.
Absolutely.
You know, if
yeah.
that's possible, I think that would be pretty.
Absolutely.
Just pretty helpful.
Yeah, things that we can respond to at the
mm-hmm.
coffee shop. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, so what I can send you right now, we do have, I dabble in GIS once in a while when I have time, which is not often, to be frank. But the when we had GIS, and I'll get to that later, but when we had GIS, I did create an annexation map. And so it does show annexations, and it includes the name of them. So then you could maybe, and then from there, you
yeah.
can kind of guess the map name because it's pretty similar. But, yeah, I can provide that, and I'll also provide the Excel spreadsheet with the number of units that have been approved.
Yeah, don't,
yeah.
Yeah, don't
yeah.
create anything. Just whatever you got.
Sure.
Yeah,
yeah, that's something I can provide immediately. But that being said, the next fiscal year we have budgeted a GIS system. Whatever we had was they basically don't update it anymore because it was an older version. So we are going to get a new version of GIS, and at that time we can create a subdivision map that you're looking at and the annexation map so that we can you know, so you can bring it to Planning Commission every
yeah.
week. So whenever I say
yes.
a name, you'll
yes.
be like, oh, there
that
we go.
Would be,
that'd,
yeah.
be awesome.
Yeah.
That'd be
absolutely.
Awesome.
Scorecard.
Yeah, because even in staff meetings, when we're all talking about it, just at the staff level, we have to go, wait a minute, and we look at a map and have to point. So it's something that we all need, and it's something that we are working on.
Yeah.
You have to call Caitlin into the meeting. And
that's right, and she'll set us straight. She'll be like, this is the project that we need to talk about. Absolutely.
GIS stands for what?
Geographic Information System.
Software that
yeah.
tells you where everything is.
Yeah, yeah, because AutoCAD is what we have and what our engineers use, and that's what our maps are currently. But that's mostly for specific site planning. But for citywide maps and data collection, GIS is the way to go. And so
what software do you use for your databases? Just Excel.
Yeah, just Excel.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just send us the app.
The app.
The Readly development app.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, and you can text message me on there and everything. It'll be one-stop shop. All right.
Okay.
My last thing is United Health Centers. They did get their certificate of occupancy, but they are having an open house on April 9th at 11 a.m. Caitlin and I were able to go in there and take a look at the building, and it is beautiful. So if you have the chance to go in there, I would highly recommend it.
The outside is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
I'm so glad that they you know, made it aesthetically pleasing. So
mm-hmm.
I think that was one of the issues that we were discussing when they were here. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. The elevations look
right.
great. Mm-hmm. And I think they even have a little fountain that lights up at night.
And yeah, it's nice.
Yeah.
I really like it.
Mm-hmm. Looks great. And yeah, because that's definitely important on the corner pieces to
mm-hmm.
have them look good, and they did that. And that is it for me.
Okay, thank you. Good report.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have
good
any
questions.
Retail at all,
any
or a local or anybody coming?
no applications have been submitted at this
no,
time.
No, any interest?
Any interest? I can't speak
divulge
to that.
Okay.
There's always interest, right? I mean.
I'll say we get questions. Yeah,
yeah,
there's
questions.
Definitely interest from citizens for sure. But yeah, sometimes we do get questions, but I am not at liberty to discuss anything until applications have been submitted.
Okay, you and I will go have an 8:05 session.
An 8:05 session.
All right. Future agenda items. Is March 19th still holding that there's none at this time?
That's correct.
And then April the 2nd, conditional use permit for ABC license. That's still?
Yes, that is still, it's a little tentative at this point,
right.
but I would plan on it.
And then April 16th, Reedley Farmland Preservation Program.
And that is definitely
that's
still
a workshop,
scheduled.
Isn't it?
That'll actually be the adoption of the plan.
Oh.
Or, excuse me, recommendation of it, yeah. So.
Recommendation to the city of...
to the city council.
We get food for that, that's why I asked.
Oh, for workshops, yeah. It's not a workshop,
it's not a workshop.
I'll bring some chips or something.
Oh, my God. Well,
any holidays coming up? All right, anything further to discuss? All right, do we have a motion? Can we have a motion to adjourn?
Make a motion that we adjourn.
Yeah, all of us will.
Motion? Second?
Yes.
We have a second?
I have a third and a fourth.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay.
Amen. Thank you.
Let's go. Meeting is adjourned. Mm-hmm.